You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
We all know how important it is to keep your eye on the money, and not just your own. Stay on top of the latest financial and market news with Yahoo Finance, a podcast that releases new episodes almost every day. You'll hear a brief overview of the biggest news in the financial world, all in 3 minutes or less, right after markets close. Check out Yahoo Finance wherever you get your podcasts. That's Yahoo Finance wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone, welcome to a new episode of Surfing Corporate, the podcast that helps you navigate tricky corporate waters. I'm Eileen Marciel.
And I'm Glenda Pakenens, and today we're tackling the topic of corporate tsunamis, those moments when new leadership takes over and you're left there drowning in uncertainty and trying to stay afloat. We want to help you get through these really tough times. But first, before we get into this really juicy topic, and as we mentioned in our last episode, we're so excited that people are listening to our podcast across the globe. So today we want to do a quick shout out to the people who listen to us from the land down under, Australia. That was like the worst Australian accent attempt ever in the history of the world.
Precisely. To read this list of places, we invited Australian legend Nicole Kidman to read them for us. And after she said no, we got a yes from Kylie, one of our listeners, who lives in Australia. So take it away, Kylie.
G'day, Kylie from Brizzy here. Eileen and Glenda would like to give a huge shout out to the Surfing Corporate listeners from Trigania, Brisbane, Homebush, Perth, Oakley, Gusnells, Heathmount, Brunswick, Carrefield Gardens, Bicton, Croydon, Kellyville, Armidale, Ingleburn, Coosdale, Guildford West, Adelaide, Palmerston, Hastings, and Deception Bay. Have a good one.
Thank you, Kylie from Brizzy. Did you get all those names, Glenda?
I can't even begin to try to pronounce any of those, but I love that they're listening. Thank you, guys.
And you know what blows my mind, Glenda, besides all of these people that listen?
What?
The fact that there's a place in Australia called Deception Bay. How
I'm actually a little afraid to think about what goes on in Deception Bay. Like, I wonder if the residents of Deception Bay live up to living in a place called Deception Bay. But that's a whole other topic for a whole other episode.
I love it.
Okay, so diving in. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that affects lots of employees at some point in their careers. It's the corporate tsunami. It's what happens when you've been working for a company for a while, going about your daily life as always. You're used to the people that you work with, how it all works. And then all of a sudden, from one day to the next, a drastic change happens. You know, kind of like the CEO resigns. And a new one comes in, brings in a whole new vision. And you know that sometimes that means a whole new team.
Yes. Or a bigger company acquires your company and basically everything gets turned on its head. Everything you thought you knew is up for grabs. And you know what else is up for grabs, Glenda? Your job.
I hate that this is such a truth in corporate life, especially nowadays. And trust me, we're just laughing because it's one of those sad but true facts, which is why we're talking about it, right? Because when there's new leadership in town, the new folks come in with the mentality of reevaluating everything. And you know, that makes sense because they're the ones that are ultimately going to be responsible for the financials. So they're constantly thinking, how can we make the company more efficient? How can we make us more profitable? And many times this can mean simplifying processes and rethinking org charts, which means that everything is going to be looked at and evaluated under a magnifying glass. And we all know what happens when something gets under a magnifying glass. It gets burned and could die and explode.
The truth is, when this happens, no matter how good an employee you have been until that moment, there's no guarantee that you will be chosen to stay on board for the, quote, new era of the company. During this period, let's call it the adaptation time or whatnot, this can sometimes take months or, if you're Elon Musk, just a couple of days. And you have to win over the new leaders to prove your worth. It kind of becomes a casting process for who's worthy of the new leadership approval, who's worthy of being part of their new vision. And this whole period is nerve-wracking. It's kind of like being on The Bachelor, but at the end, you don't get a rose. You do not get wined and dined. But if you're the one, at least you get to keep your job. And if not, bye-bye.
Yeah, and this episode is going to be a two-parter. For this first part, Eileen and I are going to give you the scoop on what really goes down when a corporate tsunami happens. And for part two, we're going to talk to a guest who's lived through this and has stories to tell.
Acquisitions and mergers happen frequently. A smaller company grows to be successful, and then a bigger company then decides to buy that company to be even bigger or to squash the competition or whatever. And when this happens, two very different companies, two very different cultures, and two very different ways of working are suddenly forced to coexist. And that ain't easy. As we mentioned before, these types of culture clashes happen not only when there's a merger or acquisition, but they can also happen when a new CEO is brought on to lead a company. Many times, a new senior leader brings on several people and they give them key roles to, you know, help ensure a smooth transition toward our new vision, which is code for shit's going down, bitches. I'm bringing my people.
You know, I'm going to have a lot to say about that at some point, because at some point I was part of a team that a senior leader brought on board, and there's a flip side to it. I mean, it's not easy to land in that position and be looked at as like, okay, what are you going to do? What changes are you going
to
make?
And to your point, Glenda, we've both been on both sides of that.
Yes, we have.
Because it's easy to see it if you've only been on one side of this. You can see the other side as the villains. But if you've been on both, you can understand that it's not easy for anyone.
Exactly. And while we know that it's common for new leaders to do sort of like a corporate cleanse, if you want to call it that, letting go of people they don't know or they don't trust and bringing in more people that they feel comfortable with, that's kind of like a go-to thing, right? Mm-hmm. I've seen cases where it actually makes sense. Yeah. And it was the right call to do. People were brought on board to steer the company in a new direction, maybe with a new vision and you know, a new way of doing business. And that was the right thing to do, because unfortunately, sometimes you just have to look at the hard facts that the people who are there doing that job maybe aren't the right fit anymore, or maybe aren't the right fit for the direction that the company wants to take. But in many other cases, it's sometimes because the boss just wants people that they know, people who are on their team, are their cheerleaders, and can, yeah, maybe even help massage their egos a little bit sometimes.
That's putting it so mildly, but okay, sure, just maybe, just a little bit. There's also some full-blown narcissists that need that cheerleading team around all the time. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And I agree with you. In some cases, it makes total sense. Like, we're not judging CEOs who come in with, you know, key people and new teams to make changes. In other cases, it's just because they need to feel comfy and not challenged. But in any case, when the new president or CEO does bring on a new team, there's going to be a culture clash. There's no going around that, because it becomes the previous team versus the new team, or, you know, the originals versus the newcomers. And it's just a common human reaction to have that us versus them mentality in those moments. The stakes are very high, and it's like, are they going to take my job? Are they not going to accept me? Blah, blah, blah. Like, that is inevitable. But at the same time, there's also a Hunger Games thing going on as well with the original team, because, you know, like, there are going to be cuts, and more likely it's going to be from your end where those cuts are going to take place. So it's kind of like a race with your coworkers of who's going to stay and who's going to get booted. So it's just overall a pretty savage time for your mental health.
No, absolutely. It could be brutal. And, you know, and we're making light of it only because we've seen it, we've lived it. We've definitely been through it, but it is a very harrowing time. And if you look at it from just like the sociological perspective, mm-hmm. it's a fascinating way of looking at just human behavior. If you're watching it from afar, though, because if you're living it, all you're thinking is, dear God, get me out of this shitstorm as quickly as possible.
Oh, my God. I cannot forget the days of anguish and despair curled up in your office on, you know, that little chair. So, yes, we've definitely been through the ups and downs and the very, very tricky times. going through processes like this together.
That's what you need to focus on, right? Like, who are your go-to people? Who are those people that are going to help you get through it? Because you're not alone in that situation, right? Now, Eileen, all I can say to you is, at least that pain and suffering bonded us to the extent that now you can help everybody else also navigate those tricky moments because you've lived through it. We've been there together. Yeah.
Together, fending for our corporate lives. So here at Surfing Corporate, we've created an easy guide so you know what to expect when new leadership joins the company and what to do so you do not drown in this corporate tsunami moment. So we give you today Surfing Corporate's Survival Guide to New Leadership Takeover. Phase number one, we just want to get to know you better. Stage one is all about getting as much information about your role, about your coworkers, and your department's process as much as possible. So usually this meeting is led with charm and, you know, this disarming, you know, unpretentious tone, and your new boss or that boss's new boss or a consultant or HR, whoever they decide that owns this mission, will meet with you and ask seemingly innocent questions like, wow, I'd love to get a better sense of your role. Can you describe what your position entails and tell me, like, you know, what a typical day in your job looks like? Which is code for trying to figure out if your role is duplicated with the people they intend to bring on. They might also ask you if you have any suggestions to improve the current process. If you do, you can definitely mention them, but never in a way that speaks poorly about the current boss or team, that they're baiting you there. You have to be really careful. You don't want to be the person that shit talks people at the first chance. Remember that in these initial meetings, they're also assessing your character and your professionalism and your personality and your intellect. And if your horoscope is aligned with the CEO's, like, no sweat, you know, just chill and be you.
Yeah, seriously, no pressure. Honestly, though, this initial stage is very stressful. There's a lot of change and the overall atmosphere is just filled with that tension and people just worried shitless. Try not to take in everybody else's stress because yours is
enough.
Quite enough for you to deal with. Stay away from people who like to catastrophize and see everything in negative terms. And like Eileen said, are like shit talking and like, oh, what did they tell you? And in my interview, they said this. And what did they say to you? Because, you know, you can get very quickly caught in that tsunami and it's really difficult to get out of it, especially because it's a process and you're just starting that process. So keep your wits about you. In terms of our surfing strategy, what we'd say is try to get as much information as you can about that new leadership, that new team, that new CEO, that new person. What is she known for? What is her or his management style and leadership style? How did their previous company work? How was it structured? And really important, does anyone in your network know them? Do they know any of these people? Can they provide some insights? Doing your homework here can really help you get prepared for those initial encounters. I'm always in the camp of over-preparing is better than under-preparing. You never know who you might know in common. And back to your point, Eileen, about the shit-talking, you never want to be the person that says, oh my God, yeah, I had a really bad time working for that boss. And then it happens to be that that boss is your new boss's like cousin or long lost, you know, I don't know, sorority sister. Who knows? Things happen. It's a very small world.
Yes, this is not one of those situations where you want to wing it. You want to be really, really prepared. Okay, moving on to phase two. It's the tell me why phase. Tell me why.
Depending on the leadership style of the new team, this conversation can entail really constructive questions like, can you help me understand why you did this way? And what if we tackled these issues or challenges in this other way? You know, I can't say too much about this because I've done that. I've actually done that.
I hate, can you help me understand? Because I just feel.
I said that today.
Oh my God. I just feel like it's code for, okay, you're making no fucking sense. Just can you put it in terms that are kind of coherent and logical?
Well, Can I just tell you, in my defense, because like I said, I just used that today. It's putting the confusion on me, not on the person. It's giving them a chance to, you know, get a beat, take a breath, and re-explain it or rephrase it in a way that makes more sense.
No, hon, I've used it too. That's why I know where you're coming from, because I've been on both sides. It's like, damn it, they're beating me at my own game.
Yeah, no, it's always hard when new people come in and talk to you like you're like a semi-idiot. Obviously, it can be really hard on your ego, but our recommendation is that you really try to listen with an open mind. Be open. It is possible that they're bringing in a new perspective,
yes,
a new way of looking at things. And that's something that you can learn from. And I actually, this is something that I had to do for myself, because Eileen knows I went through a period where I had like 7 bosses over the span of 5 years. And it was always feeling like this. It was always feeling of you have to now sell yourself again and blah, blah, blah. And initially, when they're giving you some feedback, your first reaction is to hold back and be like, you know, very defensive of like, but that's how we've always done things and things have always worked well. Mm-hmm. And you close yourself off to listening to a perspective that actually challenges you to think through things in a different way. And we often talk about when you came in, Eileen, you came into a company where I had been working for a really long time and you brought in a perspective that was very different, a way of seeing things that were really unique. And asking questions that hadn't been asked before, just because it was a team that was used to working in a certain way for a really long time. And I remember feeling a little resistant at first of like, but wait, what is she trying to get at? And then I realized that you're just thinking in a really different way than I was used to hearing. And I was like, wait a minute, she has a point. Why can't we look at it that way? Why can't we consider it this way? So to that point, I have seeing the benefit of being open-minded and putting down your guard a little bit and just seeing if this person might actually be bringing something to the table that you might benefit from. So,
and giving, you know, the grace of thinking they're coming from a good place and not necessarily starting off from the point of they're just trying to tear us down. It may not be the case. And yes, you can, no matter what happens, you can learn from hearing how a person comes at whatever you know and the process from a completely different angle. So
yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely the positive side to it. The flip side to that is obviously shittier. And we've seen the other side of, you know, people have an agenda.
Yeah.
It sometimes could be that a new leader or a new team comes in with their minds already made up.
That's true.
And no matter what you say or what you do, they've already made a decision that you have no agency over. You have nothing to say about it. So all you can do is do your best, put your nose to the ground and keep doing the best job you can. At the end of the day, if they make a decision about your position or your division or your team, that's beyond your control at that point. So yeah. It does work both ways. We've seen it both ways.
Yeah, it's possible that the new leadership is proposing thoughtless shit that makes no sense with an air of superiority, in which case you should update your resume because fuck that.
In here, you definitely want to be proactive. Have your resume, your LinkedIn updated. Remember to reach out to those acquaintances of yours, that network that's a little further out than your direct connections, you know, people you haven't connected with in a while, just to say hi or let's grab a coffee. Because even though you haven't really maybe connected with them in months, that person might know of an opportunity, might know a headhunter, might know of anything that might come in handy for you at any given moment, should you get the axe.
Moving on to stage 3 of our survival guide. Radio silence followed by sheer panic. So after these initial meetings that can feel like FBI debriefings or like Law and Order SVU's interrogation sessions, all of a sudden things can get really quiet. So the newcomers have gotten all the info they needed from you and they've moved on now to other people in your department or to other people in the overarching company. And on one hand, it's a huge relief, but it's also kind of sad because you felt special and you felt like you were the center of attention for a while. And now you're being ghosted like a guy on Tinder who said he was 6'2" and he was really 5'7".
Lord.
But don't worry. This is normal. They're assessing a ton of rules and processes. Just do your best to keep your cool. But also, you know, be aware. Keep your eyes and ears open. For instance, if your coworker who does a similar job to yours is getting, you know, invited to meetings and this person is being CC'd on emails and you're not, that might be a red flag that you're no longer in the picture and you're on corporate death row.
Oh my God. Talk about a bleak outlook, Eileen.
Moving on to stage four of Surfing Corporate's survival guide is the speculation fest. So this is when many of those let's get to know you sessions have happened across the company. And of course, some people share what was said or what questions were asked and about whom. And then office gossip spreads in all its glory.
It's at this point in time when uncertainty just surrounds you, envelops you, takes over you like one of those big, heavy, weighted blankets. And the level of anxiety ramps up to like unbearable levels.
At this point in time, there's really not much else you can do except wait. And it's unnerving and it's excruciating and you have no control over the outcome. You know, a lot like someone who's waiting for a jury deliberation. Guilty or innocent? Stays on, gets booted.
All kidding aside, though, our point here is just to add a little levity to this topic because we know it really is a stressful time. Answering questions, feeling like you're being interrogated, not knowing if you're going to get booted or if your work BFF is going to get booted, what's going to happen to your division, and so on and so on and so on. It's really stressful time. We get it. All we're trying to say is take a breather. Life will go on. You will be okay. We're just trying to give you a little bit of sanity.
Yes, we're here to make those moments of work misery at least entertaining because here at Surfing Corporate, we care.
Is that going to be our new jingle? Now, moving on to the final point of our survival guide. It is the jury's in. Acceptance, denial, and everything in between.
Much like, again, on The Bachelor, after the love and turmoil and everything in between, the time finally comes when the new leadership decides who is going to get roses and who will, quote, no longer be part of the next step of this amazing journey.
If you get a rose and stay on, good for you! You did it! You made it! You survived the corporate gauntlet! And even if things seem somewhat cloudy during that time, it's very normal. Just remember that transitions are always chaotic. They're always hard, but they can also bring moments of really great new possibilities. You might have the chance to acquire new skills. You can learn from new people and new processes. You have a chance to show off your skills to a new group of people and show them what a badass you are. You can expand your network. However, if you feel strongly that this is not the case and this new phase doesn't benefit you at all, well, then it's time for you to really look actively for another opportunity. Look on for another greener pasture somewhere else, hopefully while you're still employed.
And if instead of being given a rose, you're given a boot, well, shit, those moments suck. But if Hollywood has taught us anything, these hard moments are also turning points where the character gets stronger and even more determined to succeed. Of course, first the character goes through a rough period of shock where they grieve and get really angry and indignant, and then they question the world and say things like, why me and not stupid Jerry from finance?
Why is it always the finance people that you shit on, Eileen?
Easy targets. Alfonso, how you doing? I remember you kindly.
But please, remember that in real life, you want to do this in your head. You don't want to make a scene at work. You don't want to scream to poor Alfonso in his office. That will never lead to anything positive. Go home, digest what happened, do your rage fest, feel sorry for yourself, wallow in the self-pity. We've been there. We've been there. Throw the pity party with yourself, with your friends, with your pets. It's actually a really good coping mechanism.
That's good for
you. It really is. Mm-hmm. It's healthy. It's human. You can let it out. You can throw all the F-bombs that you want screaming at the top of your lungs. Just make sure you don't get stuck in that phase forever. As soon as you're done with that pity party, with that rage fest, it's time to move on. Get up, pick yourself up, and look forward to the next chapter in your career. Please listen to last season's episode on being fired for specific steps as to how to move forward after you've been, quote, let go.
Let go. Yeah, we did a whole episode on layoffs and all the different steps that you can use if that's what happens to you. So
no, and truthfully, we know that a lot of people are going through this situation right now. Our hearts really do go out to all of you who are living through that moment right now, have friends or loved ones that are going through that moment right now. And honestly, if you've been through this process and you want to vent a little bit, you want to reach out to us, please do. We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at hello@surfingcorporate.com.
You can also write to us just to say hi, suggest a topic or a guest, or just say, you know, how much you love us and how we've changed your lives for the better. This episode of Surfing Corporate was written and edited by me, Eileen Merciel. If you like this episode, please rate us and share it with a friend.
And if you didn't like us, don't rate it. Don't put anything. Just write to us and let us know that you didn't like it. Just don't rate it.
Keep it to yourself.
And we definitely want to give a quick shout out to Amanda Sweeney, the winner of our Surfing Corporate merch swag bag. Why did she win, are you asking? Because she filled out our survey.
See, good things do happen for those who fill out surveys.
Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter and follow us on Instagram and on LinkedIn.
Our original theme song is by Chaliwa Music.
See you next time, corporate surfers.
Hang in there.